and open back up to the book of Galatians, but we're going to be in chapter 3 this afternoon. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God that we just read, and I just pray you'd help me to preach it in such a way that make a difference, that it'd be a help to the people. And Lord, I just pray that you would open our eyes to the truth of your word. And Lord, bless you, the people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is a very interesting book of the Bible, because the church at Galatia was such that they had began to succumb to teaching, like we often do, and I would definitely say in fundamental independent Baptist circles, we may be particularly susceptible to this, because we have such a stickler about being right about things, and we also uphold standards, where the rest of the professing Christian world, by and large, has pretty much abandon any pretense of standards. I heard a fellow, I was talking to another preacher, and he was telling me about another church that was supposed to be an independent Baptist church, and they had started using the English Standard Version, the ESV, instead of the King James Bible. And, you look at that and, you know, they've touted that, just, you know, how they used to tout the NIV was the end-all, be-all. They wanted everybody to do the New International Version. Well, now the one that's taking its place is the ESV, the English Standard Version, or whatever they call it. But they made this, oh, it's a literal word-for-word translation like the King James and everything like that. But, you know, it's got the same errors that all the other modern versions have in it. It does. I mean, if you go, like we talked about this morning with the Ethiopian eunuch, they take verse 37 of chapter 8 completely out. Philip saying the prerequisite to baptism is believing with all your heart, and his confession and faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they take that completely out. If you go to the book of Genesis and go to Genesis chapter 1, where God, even if you go to Genesis chapter 6, you know, God says in Genesis chapter 6, make a window, and they say make a roof. Well, there's a difference between a window and a roof. Would you agree? All right, so you got that, and you can, I mean, that's even a minor thing, but even in minor things, they've got something different where you would say relatively minor, but really there's nothing minor in Scripture because God says what He says for a reason. You know, the Brother Larry and I were talking about that, and he was talking about, you know, the ark had three stories, and that's by design. The ark only had one door. That's by design. So when you start taking things away from that, you if nothing else, obfuscate that message. But then you get into to Genesis chapter 7, and they, instead of saying like God said to Noah, "Come thou into the ark," they say, "Go in the ark," right? Well, was God in the ark?
Yes.
And now God's omnipotent and omniscient. He's everywhere, right? He's all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, all the things we want to do. But His presence for Noah was where? In the ark. There was no salvation outside the ark, was there? The only salvation was inside the ark.
Right.
Only one door to the ark. That's by design. That's important. But when you take that out, you've clouded the message, haven't you? And there's churches that do that. And like I said, about standards, whether it's Bible or whether it's dress or whether it's music. I mean, pretty much anything goes. And you know, the simple fact about it is, when we get into a point where we want to stay by biblical standards, we run the risk of getting to the point of thinking that somehow, because we're doing such and such, that we're somehow better than anybody else. And when we do that, that's called the flesh. And what these people were doing in Galatia, these believers were doing, they were being sold a bill of goods and lying about, okay, now, yes, you're saved by faith in Jesus, but, wait a minute, it's like over in Acts chapter 15 when they came to there and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved, right? They began bringing that doctrine in here. And that's why he rebukes them about that. But the point being is that they had gotten saved and they began to read the Scriptures and they misinterpreted it and they were lied to, and they thought that, oh, we've got to start living and being Jews. Well, you can do all the ceremonial law you want to and still be wicked as the devil. The Jews have already proved that, haven't they? So it has to be more than just the law, doesn't it? And the law has never saved a soul. All the law can do is condemn the soul. Old-time preacher by the name of Lester Roloff, one of his most famous sermons was a message called Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. I don't know if you ever heard that message, but it's a good message to hear. It's good preaching, but if you ever get a chance to hear that message, and the point being about it is, and the premise of the message was really simple, that there was a man and he said he had trouble, and he went to Dr. Law, and Dr. Law said his problem was his heart. And Dr. Law, he said, what did I do about it? He said, I don't do anything about it. All I do is diagnose it. And he said, to get help, you're going to have to go to Dr. Grace. And he said, well, I don't think I need to go to Dr. Grace. I don't think there's anything wrong with my heart. And then he went off to Dr. Feel Good and Dr. Do Good and Dr. Do Right and all the different doctors and everything like that, that the world, and he used that as the, you know, the way religious people think about how you're supposed to be righteous before God. And he went through all of them and none of them could help him. Finally, he humbled himself. And he went back to Dr. Law and he said, I can't help you. He said, you're going to have to go to Dr. Grace. And he used about a picture of that. And that's the way these people were. They started with God's grace. They started by faith. And then they began to read and learn things about the Old Testament, and people told them lies and they believed the lies, and now they began to depend upon their works for their righteousness. They began to try to act as if they were doing that. And so they began teaching, salvation by works, even though they themselves had been justified by faith. And that type of doctrine works its way into churches, and it may not keep the people that first got saved when the false doctrine comes in. It may not keep that first group from getting into heaven, but it sure will keep the ones that come after. I've known a lot of people that have gotten saved, right? And genuinely saved. They have all the right professions. Now, I can't see any man's heart any more than you can. But if you were to look at this person and say, was that person saved? Does that person have Christian character, Christian behavior? I'd say, absolutely. You see a change in their life. But then they get caught up in the idea that you can lose your salvation. Well, if somebody who's genuinely born again begins to teach and believe and preach that somehow he can lose his salvation, one, it's easy for them to get discouraged. Because every time you fail, you're lost again, right? So then what do you have to do? You have to turn around and either make sin, you have to reclassify sin so you feel good about yourself, or you have to just quit because you figure, I can't live it. And you believe you're lost. But the most terrible thing about it is the children that grow up under that preaching believe on Jesus, plus you got to live it the rest of your life. And if you sin after you're saved, you're lost, right? The children grow up thinking it's Jesus plus me. And you know what? They never repent. They never believe the gospel. And they're never saved. That's what happens. And that's wicked. There's no other way to put it. And you know, the a lot of people that teach that, they say, well, you people, you believe once saved, always saved. Absolutely I do. If you're genuinely born again, you're not going to get unborn. But you better make sure you're genuinely born again. And you're not just playing church. You might be like old Simon there out of Samaria. He believed, he got baptized, but no, he never repented, did he? There's no repentance in his heart. All he wanted was to be like Philip. He didn't want to be born again. He wanted to be like Philip. He wanted power. There's a lot of folks who go to church for a lot of different reasons. Every politician in Washington goes to church somewhere today, if they show up, don't they? But you sure not, I guarantee you, I'm awful doubtful about any of them being born again. Not saying they can't be, I'm just saying it don't look very obvious, does it? But I'm just simply saying, we get in the flesh that way. And we can get in the flesh that way. These people began teaching work salvation, even though they themselves had been saved by grace. And they began to look at themselves as somehow superior because, well, I got circumcised. I'm obeying God. There's other people out here, they're not obeying God. And I'll say this, if they were Jewish, they should have got circumcised because it's part of the law. And there were certain things that they should have observed because it was part of the law. And the Jews, the law was given to the Jews. The law, keeping of the law, is part of the Jews' testimony. Now, do we keep the law? Yes, by obeying the Spirit we keep the law. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But I will say this, we have a tendency, especially when people are just kind of going willy-nilly out there, we have a tendency to look at ourselves and think, well, you know what? I'm not like them, so I'm in pretty good shape. Bless God, King James only, brother. Right? And I am a staunch believer and supporter that the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God. I don't have any problem with that at all. But I'll tell you this, one thing about it is, we got to be careful because the devil wants us, having begun in the Spirit, he wants us to try to think we're made perfect by the flesh. I'm just going to say something to you. You know what? When I got saved, I didn't have a clue about King James Bible. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know. I hadn't done the study. I hadn't taken the time to find out. I hadn't compared the versions. I hadn't done all that. All I knew was I was on my way to hell. I deserved to go there. And Jesus died for me and paid the penalty for my sins, and He rose from the dead. And if I was going to get to heaven, He was my only hope. That's all I knew. And I finally believed His promise. And I was born again. God's Spirit came to dwell in my heart. Now I know a whole lot. Not near as much as I probably ought to know, but I know a whole lot. And I've studied the Word of God, and I've tried to be faithful to it and everything like that. But you know what? All my study, all my understanding, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans if I'm walking in the flesh. I mean, could God still use somebody like that? Sure He can. He does it all the time. I mean, if he can use a rooster to talk to Peter, and He can use an ass to speak to Balaam, I reckon He can use me. Yep. He can use you. But the reality is, we ought to have a desire for something more. And He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Boy, we're walking up on Easter, right? Walking up on Resurrection Sunday, however you want to term it. We're walking up on a day where even the world is going to join in, at least from afar, and say, oh, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, right? In every church here, boy, there's going to be pageantry, and there's going to be a ceremony, and there's going to be a bunch of mixing in with worldly traditions and all this type of stuff that people are going to do. And you know what? The simple fact is, most of them have no understanding what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is about. And the bottom line is, we get that way in the churches too, where we miss the whole point. Paul said, look, you learned that Jesus died for your sins. You learned that He rose from the dead. You learned that salvation is through Him. And He's been evidently set forth as crucified among you. And now you're looking at somewhere else. Instead of looking at Jesus. Instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of my faith. He's the finisher of my faith. In other words, Sister Denise and I were talking about this the other day. There used to be a home builder called Jim Walter Homes. Anybody remember them? And they would come in, and they would go in there, and they would build out you an entire house. They would put it all together, but they wouldn't finish it. You had to get somebody else. You either had to do the finishing yourself, or you had to get somebody else to come in and finish it, to do the drywall, to do the painting, to do the electrical work, different things like that. Well, they'd build it out, and they'd frame it out, and they'd make everything done, but anything inside, that was you. Floors, you had to get somebody to do the finishing. Well, we forget that Jesus is not just the author of our faith, He's the finisher of our faith. We can't walk away from this understanding that our Savior is risen from the dead. We can't do that. I mean, the reason 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, where I can come as a believer and confess my sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, is because when I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And the Spirit of God makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so, anything that's good in me, I've got to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. I'm to be looking unto Him as the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And everything that we're doing, that we do, we ought to be looking unto Jesus. Where are you looking? When you get up in the morning, what are you looking at? Let me see what they got on Fox News. Let me see what they got on CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC. You know, most news today isn't news anymore. Most news is just running commentary and propaganda. You get a little bit of news and there are a bunch of people telling you what you ought to think. You know, we ought to make up our mind. The only one that's going to tell us what to think is Jesus. We ought to get that point where we feel that way. And the Easter, the problem was, they had people coming there telling them things that were contrary to what they'd learned in the beginning. And they'd been saved by faith, but now they think they're made perfect by the flesh. Are you so foolish, having begun in the flesh? Are you now made perfect, begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? They had suffered for their faith. Read the book of Acts. Read the things that happened in the different churches. Read the things that happened at Galatia. They had suffered from the pagans that they left, and they had suffered from the Jews for believing on Christ. And they had suffered all these things, and now all of a sudden they feel like, man, I don't need to grow up anymore. I don't need to. I've arrived. I'm not like those other folks. I'm not like those other people. You know, it's good to stand, and we make a stand, right? You know, a lot of churches. Brother Tolbert was preaching when we went over to Bethel, and he was preaching about a lot of these places. They're taking the name church off, right? They don't want to be called a church because the world don't like churches. And I'll be honest with you, can't blame them much. But people taking the word church off. Then people go and take the word Baptist off. Baptist used to mean something. Well, we identify ourselves as Baptists for a reason. Because we're not ashamed of what we stand for. The Bible being the sole authority of our faith in practice. And so when we look at this, we talk about it, and we talk about it. We've got to be careful we don't get that way. And the devil's pretty sly. Do you know that there's a bunch of people out there that really have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge? Do you know there's a lot of people, we've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and all the different terminologies that we use. We have a lot of people out there. And you know, if you get filled with the Spirit, if you genuinely get filled with the Spirit, it can and will evoke emotion, right? It can and will evoke it. It may not be woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It may not be that. It may be blubbering on your face before God, getting right with Him. Amen? All right. It may bring some emotion out, but emotion is not the Spirit. Do you know why most people want rock music in the church and bands and all the different things and the drums and everything? You know why they want it? Because it is a music that is specifically designed to evoke emotion. I played the drums, right? And I played the drums, and I could play the drums quite well. Matter of fact, I could probably pick up a set of sticks and get me a drum kit, and I could probably play passably well. But I guarantee you, I can use that drum set, and I can evoke different emotions from you. And what people don't understand about rock music and the drum set and the trap set and all the things that they do, it is designed with the backbeat and all the other things and the rhythms and different things like that. It is designed to affect your body rhythms, and it's designed to affect your emotions. Let me give you an example. If I just went and took and hit a cymbal, if I went crash, 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 even if I just did it crash and waited about 30 seconds and went crash and waited another 10 seconds and went crash, after a while you'd say, stop! Or if I just took that stick and just got on the cymbal or on the hi-hat and I just got on there and just went, after a while you'd say, stop it! You're driving me nuts! Right? Or if I just went, after a while you'd say, what in the world are you doing? But when you mix it all together, it provokes contrasting emotions, which is part of the emotional appeal of a lot of rock music, which is why it's so addictive, by the way. It's why we like it so much. But there are a lot of people that said, I was talking to this one woman and said, well, I can't feel the Spirit unless I have good music. What she meant was rock music. You weren't feeling the Spirit at all. You were just getting emotional. They're not one of the two. She may have started in the Spirit, but she was trying to be made perfect by the flesh. Same thing. It's no different than what the Galatians were doing. Well, I was justified by faith, but from now on I'm justified by the law. I keep the law. No, you can't get justified that way. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. And then once I yield myself to the Spirit of God and learn to love the way God is, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, right? All the law is fulfilled in this one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, right? That's what Jesus said. That's what the Scripture tells us. And so we're not keeping the law in the sense of trying to justify ourselves before God. We're keeping the law by yielding ourselves to God and just simply saying yes to what God wants us to do. I read in the Scripture and I say, yes, Lord. The Spirit of God, I learn to hear the Spirit of God speaking to my spirit and I say, yes, Lord. That's how we do this. That's how we do this thing. And I'm just trying to get you to think about this. And we've got to get to the point where we're like the old time Bible believing Christians that just believe God and humble ourselves before Him and learn to say yes whenever God speaks. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's the way it ought to be. But what do we have now? We have now, we have folks that run around and they're just, not only are they changing the Bible, most of them are, a lot of them are just disregarding it altogether. Man stand up and supposedly prophesy something and it doesn't, it's contrary to Scripture, but they just follow it right on. Have you ever seen it happen? Sure I have. I've seen it happen. And I'm not saying that they have wicked intentions. I'm just saying it's all a matter of us abandoning what God has laid out. We've abandoned the idea of the gifts of the Spirit in a lot of churches. Why would we do that? And I'm not talking about sign gifts. I'm not talking about healing. I'm not talking about miracles. But you know, I've seen God do some things that I could call a miracle. I've had times when I've seen God heal. I've had times when I've seen some things that I can't explain any other way but God. And it didn't come through some man. Didn't come through some fellow that puffed himself up. It just came from people that just believed God. That's the way that's supposed to work, by the way. You and I have got to get to the point where we say, man, I'm not made perfect by the flesh. My own hope, I got to stay with the Spirit. I've got to stay with Jesus Christ. I've got to put my focus on Him. All the blessings of God and all the promises of God in Him are yea and in Him are amen. That tells me everything outside of Him is no way. And I'm just simply saying, look at what He said. He said, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. They were seeing things that they had never seen before. But it wasn't being done by them going to the synagogue. Wasn't happening, was it? It was doing by people who were being preached the power of God and they believed. And they heard about it. People that obeyed God. He said, and then he says, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. Now isn't that interesting? He talks about somebody that is working miracles. Somebody had that spiritual gift of being able to do miracles, right? Somebody had a spiritual gift. And he takes it back, not to Moses calling down the plagues. He didn't take it back to Elijah calling down fire from heaven. He doesn't take it back to all of that. He doesn't take it back to Moses smiting the rock or the manna from heaven or the quails or the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He takes it back to Abraham. You know what he says? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He takes it back to a simple faith of believing God. And that's where we need to be. That's where we need to stay. We need to stay in the eyes of believing God. See, they didn't believe God. They were already told that the works of the law couldn't save them. They were told that their own good works couldn't save them, and they believed, and now all of a sudden they're thinking they're justified by their works. The only thing that justifies me is the blood of Jesus. That's it. Only hope I have. And any righteousness I have, it's not mine, it's His. That's right. Any good thing that you find me, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Hey. I don't care if it's the religious flesh or the wicked worldly flesh, which by the way is all one and the same.
That's right.
But we've got to get our point to where we say, you know what? I started this thing in the Spirit, and I'm just going to continue right along that same direction. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to go back. And when we find ourselves walking away from that, we need to check ourselves. Sometimes we read our Bibles and we go through and check the marks, but we never consider, is God speaking to me? So, beloved, I just want to challenge you to look at this passage of Scripture and say, you know what? Am I trying to do this thing in my flesh? Am I sitting around and, you know, there were a lot of people that that were criticizing Brother Paul. If you go into 1st or 2nd Corinthians, he talks about all these other preachers, and he said they measuring themselves by themselves are not wise. They were running around looking at one another. I'm that preacher, this preacher, I'm better than that preacher, I'm this, I'm that, I'm better than Paul, I'm better. And they were trying to comparing themselves among themselves and measuring themselves by themselves, and God said, you're not wise. And this is what these preachers were doing. They didn't want anything. Really, they didn't have the idea of the well-being of the people they were preaching to. They wanted to be in control. They wanted to be the ones that had the notoriety. I'm trying to remember where he said it, but he said that these people that want you to be circumcised, the only reason they want is they want to glory in your flesh. It says in Galatians 6, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen? You know, and that's the thing. We get to the point. I don't want to get to the point where we're just trying to get folks to conform to what we say. I don't want somebody to just take my word for it. I want you to study the Scriptures. I want you to learn and grow. I want you to know why you believe what you want. I mean, if your answer, if somebody asks you a question about what you believe and you say, well, my preacher says I failed. Did you hear me? You ought to have a firm conviction about what you believe. And I'm glad to help you out in any way I can, but if I'm your fallback, if I'm the only thing, if everything about it has to go back to your preacher and you can't defend your own faith, I'm not doing my job right. Something's not right. And I'm trying to focus on it, and I'm just, what I'm trying to tell you is, you need to be filled with the Spirit just as much as I do. We all need to be filled with the Spirit. We want this church to do what we... And when we talk about things we want to do, you say, well, how are we going to do it? I don't know. This is all we got. I guess it's going to take a miracle of God. But the only people that are going to find God doing miracles are the people that believe God. And I just want to challenge you. Like I said this morning, you're never going to be filled with the Spirit if you don't want to be filled with the Spirit. And I just pray that God work in our hearts to where we want it. But let's not ever fool ourselves to think that we've got to the point where we don't need to be Spirit-filled anymore. We don't need to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. We don't need to learn and grow and come to a proper understanding and rightly divide the word of truth. We don't need that. We just kind of where we're at. And this is what I believe. Like I was talking to Brother Johnny earlier when we were talking before the church. A fellow that I knocked on the door and he told me he went to a Baptist church. And I said, said, hey, I'm glad you go to church. I said, I'm not trying to take away from your church. I said, of course, we'd be honored if you ever felt like visiting us and everything like that. I said, but let me ask you this question, which is most important. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Boy, he swole up at me and got mad and red-faced. And Sister Denise was right there. She can tell you, he slammed the door in my face and he screamed at me, I was born a Baptist and I'll die a Baptist. And slammed the door in my face. Okay, I'm a Baptist too, but that's not the point, is it?
No.
Point is, are you saved? You get to thinking that only Baptists can be saved, and the only way you can be saved is to be a Baptist. Then you're teaching false doctrine.
That's right. Amen.
Do I believe Baptist doctrine is correct? Absolutely, I do. I wouldn't be a Baptist if I didn't. And I'll be one until somebody can take the Bible and show me that I'm wrong. I've been doing this for a while now. Nobody's bothered. Matter of fact, when I get to talking to people, they get mad and walk off. I'm not changing just because somebody gets mad at me. You're going to have to show me from the Bible. But the bottom line is, when we talk about this, regardless of what it is, we can glory in being, amen, we're doctrinally sound, but we need to be doctrinally sound and led by the Spirit. We need to be spiritual, not carnal. We're not made perfect by the flesh. We're never going to get to a point where we say we have nothing else to learn from God. We don't need God's direction anymore. I don't need God to tell me what to do. I know it all. You say, I'd never say that. Well, you might not say it, but would you behave that way? Do you behave that way when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and you just kind of brush Him aside and say, I'm just trying to challenge you. I want us to grow. I want you to be happy in your faith. And you'll never be happy in your faith until you allow the Spirit of God to take control. Because, you know, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The flesh doesn't like the Spirit. The only way you can deal with the flesh is put it to death. And the only way you can put it to death is by yielding to the Spirit. That's the only way. You got to deny the flesh. You have to die daily, or whatever terminology you want to use, but it all goes down to one thing. Just saying, I need God to speak to me. I need God to lead me. I know there's a lot of things we do that we know we're supposed to do, and we don't need anybody to tell us. We don't even need God to tell us. I don't need God to tell me every day that I need to take care of my family. You know why? He done told me once. Once was enough. I believed Him when He told me the first time. But the how and the why and the way that I do that, don't you think He has a say in that? I've had a lot of people come to me and say, well, you know, he that provided not for his own family it has denied the faith is worse than an infidel, preacher. And then go to work at the casino or some place where they know they have no business, Christian has no business being or something like that. And they make that's what I'm going to do. And I understand it. I understand it. And I'm not talking down to anybody, but the question I always have when I talk to somebody is, do you not believe that God can provide you a better place? Did you take that job because you just jumped on it because you got a job offer and you liked it? Or did you go there? You'd say to me, preacher, you know, you shouldn't be worried about what people go to work. Well, what if I went to work for the casino? I work a full-time job. You know, I don't get paid to pastor. I don't get any salary. I work to provide for my family just like anybody else does, right? Now, what would you say if I went and worked for the casino? What would you say if I went and worked at the beer joint? Huh? And I could use other examples. But what would you say about me? What would you say about me if I took a job that made it impossible for me to be in the house of the Lord? Well, you'd say, well, he don't need to be no preacher. We need to go find us one. Right? You would, wouldn't you? In other words, what you're saying is, you expect me to be obedient to God. If I said God said something, I'm not going to let my actions and my behavior go against what God said. I'm just being honest with you. And we just need to all have that idea. You want me to have that idea, don't you? If God told me, now let me ask you a question. Now, and you know what? This question will impact my wife harder than anybody else here. When the rubber meets the road. But if God told me, I want you to quit your job, would you expect me to obey God? If God told me, I don't want you doing that anymore, I want you to focus full time on this, and this is what I want you to do, and he gave me some marching orders to do something, he said, you need to quit your job. Well, wait a minute, what about taking care of my family? Well, I'll take care of that. If God said that, if God put that in my heart and impressed it on my heart, would you expect me to do that? Now, for the rest of y'all, that's an easy thing. Well, sure, preacher, you ought to do what God says. You ought to believe God, preacher. And I don't have an argument with that. But I'll tell you what, for Sister Denise, that means faith on her part too, doesn't it? Trusting that I'm listening to God, and then trusting God to provide for our needs. Right? Now that's what you expect of me. Why don't you expect it for yourself? That's all I'm saying. And we all have to do that. I'm in the same boat as you are. I have to seek the Lord and make up my mind and whether I'm going to follow God or not. I'm just saying, whatever the case may be, that's the way we have to live. You say, well, I don't believe God would tell you that, preacher. I didn't ask what you believed. God's told an awful heap of lot of people to quit their jobs and go do something, hadn't he? Every one of those missionaries out there, they're depending on God. They're depending on us to keep our word, aren't they? That's a scary thing. To have to wait on a bunch of people to keep their word. I'm just simply saying, beloved, we've got to get to this point where we don't think that because we're right in some way that we just get to the point where we don't really need to seek the Lord the way we should. We need to seek the Lord as a church. We need to seek the Lord as individuals. We need to do the will of God. We need to get to the point to where we're saying, you know what? I still need to hear from heaven. I still need direction from my Savior and my God. I still need to grow. I still need to learn. I still need to become more like Jesus. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out the day. Father, I just pray you take the message and Lord, that folks would receive it in the spirit that it's given. But I pray, Father, that you would help us to just believe your word and believe in your character and your nature and trust you in the way we should. And Lord, I'm thankful to be in a church that believes the Bible, and I'm thankful that we have folks that are sound in their faith. And Lord, there may be some that aren't, and Lord, maybe they don't have genuine conviction in their heart. And I just pray, Lord, you'd help them to get through that until where they were solid and able to be a good witness for Christ and able to stand on their own two feet about sharing the gospel with people. but and being able to deal with false doctrines and things like that. But Father, I just pray, above all, you'd help us to just be willing to simply humble ourselves and say, you know what, I may know a lot, and God's been good, and He's shown me a lot, and I know a lot of things, but I don't want to ever get to the point to where I just feel like I don't even need to talk to Him. I don't even need to discuss it. I don't even need to pray and seek His guidance. Lord, help us to be praying in the Holy Ghost, seeking the will of our God. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen.